Amen. Please turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4 tonight. We've been just looking at different attributes of God Sunday night and sometimes on Wednesday night. We've looked at how God is faithful. God is our refuge. God is vengeance. And tonight we're going to look at God is love. God is love. So 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And let's begin in verse number 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. And what's the next four words say? For God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, or the payment, for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Love. That's a great word, isn't it? I know February 14th, we tried to highlight love, and Steve DeSantis calls it a fake holiday. They're just trying to sell some more cards, you know. But it is nice on Valentine's Day, or really any day, when someone tells you that they love you. Don't you like it when someone in your family says, I love you? Don't you like hearing the words, I love you? And when you hear those words, what do you think that means? What do you take it as? Uh-oh, participation. I'm okay. I'm cared about. I'm accepted. What do you think about I'm special? I'm safe. I'm safe. Someone says I love you. What goes through your mind? They're putting you before them. That's good. Also, how about you feel like I'm wanted? Someone says, I love you. Those are some of the most powerful words. I love you. And they're very powerful when you know the person means it. Back in verse 7, he says, beloved, let us love one another. And it's talking to the saved. And yes, we need to go out and love the lost like Christ does and reach them. But Christians should love each other like Christ loved us. Which means churches should be what? Loving? And if churches are loving, then what else would that make them? Friendly? Generally, if you find love, you find some friendliness, right? So friendly. If churches are loving, they're also going to be friendly. What else are you going to find in a church that's loving to each other? Unity. Okay? That's good. Unity, peace, friendliness, joy. We'll see here in a minute, perfect love casteth out fear. So security. It's nice to go into a church that loves one another. There's a lot of churches that don't like each other. And we're getting into a day and age where people just don't like people. We'd rather talk to people through social media, or, you know, text them or call them instead of go face to face. People don't like it when you show up on their door much nowadays. It was interesting, right in the middle of COVID, but you know, kind of after the fact when people were over a little bit of the fear, we went out and we had masks in our pocket just in case. We knocked on the streets in Sunbury, and everybody came out on the porch and talked with us a long time. Because one thing they realized is there's something about human connection. There's something about talking to someone face to face. It's different praying and talking to God without seeing him versus talking to him, seeing him face to face. And that's kind of like you trying to use social media and text messages to communicate with someone all the time. When you get face to face, there's a difference in the communication. For one thing, you can kind of see their emotions. You can see their attitude. You can see where they're coming from. You ever misread a text message or an email? Right? Why? Because we can't see the emotion. We kind of interpret it through whatever filter, maybe emotions that we're in at the moment. There's something special about face-to-face. And it's interesting. He says, "Beloved, let us love one another." And then he continues and says, verse 7, he says, "For love is of God." So where does love come from? Without God, there would be no love. And it's an interesting way that he puts it here, John does, through the Holy Spirit. And he says, "And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not," what's it say? "Knoweth not God, for God is love." As if to say, you can't truly love someone until you know God. Those who are unsaved, they have glimpses of love. I'm not saying that they can't love in some aspects, but I will say that the aspect of their love is limited without the knowledge of God, without understanding. When I held Kimberly Lynn Rhines for the first time, this little baby 17-year-old girl right here, I remember one of the very first thoughts I had was, this is how much God loves me. God's our Heavenly Father, right? And he loves us as his children, right? We're adopted into his family, correct? I remember holding my daughter thinking, this is how much God loves me? And tears came to my eyes. Because that's a lot of love. People can love their children even if they don't know God. But when they do know God, it takes their love for their children to a different place. It makes love more complete. Why? It says, for God is love. Not just as love from God. God is love. He is love. We serve a loving God. And it says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And it's saying, look, I loved you. And the way that you know that I loved you is because I sent my Son into the world to die for you. And why is that such a big deal? Because Romans 5 tells us, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us. Commend means commendation. It's like if you're going to commend somebody, it's because they did a good thing. You have a commencement ceremony and graduation and awards, and you commend the people who did a good job. God's saying, I'm commending and applauding my love. He commendeth his love toward us because we weren't righteous when he loved us. We weren't good when he loved us. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. None of us are going out of our way to die for our enemy. Right? You're not, that's not human nature. If it was human nature, God would not have to tell us to love our enemies, to bless them that curse us, to do good to them which despitefully use us. We were enemies, considered enemies of God because of sin, and he died for us anyway. He loved us anyway. I'm reminded of David in 2 Samuel 1:26. If you want to turn there, you can. Just one verse I want to read here. Jonathan dies, and David is lamenting Jonathan's death, and they were very close, but the reason they were close was because Jonathan loved David, and his heart was knit to him, the Bible says, as his own soul. Jonathan, when after David killed Goliath, Jonathan gave David his royal garments. Jonathan gave David his sword. Jonathan gave David basically the status symbol of the prince. In 2 Samuel 1:26, David says this. He says, "I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women." What's he saying here? He's saying, Jonathan, you loved me without any conditions. Jonathan didn't demand anything of David. One thing he asked him to pledge was that he wouldn't wipe out his children when David became king. Be nice to my house and don't wipe them out when you become king. But show me anywhere else in the scriptures Jonathan asked David for anything. But you can see everywhere where Jonathan gave David anything he asked for. He said, your love passes the love of women because there's no conditions, there's no expectations. And when it comes to men and women, ladies, would you agree you have some expectations on the man you love? Yeah? I would hope you do. Why? That's natural. There's some expectations the women have on the men that they love. Jonathan had no expectations on David. He loved David unconditionally without expecting anything in return. And may I say, God's love for us is unconditional. And he offered it to us freely. While we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he what? Gave. Love is an action. Can you love anyone without action? No. If you love someone, don't you want to tell them? If you tell them, is that an action? If you love someone, if you love your sweetheart, don't you want to give them chocolates? Right? Flowers? That's not going well. Money? When you love, you give. What's something else you give when you love? Time? Time? If someone comes around and wants to spend time with you and you have all day and there's nothing else to do and you could spend time with them, you're like, nah, I don't want to spend time with you. What's that say about love to them and you? Maybe you don't love them that much. Why? Because you weren't willing to give them time. Love is an action. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And the kind of love that God showed to us was extreme. It was full. He didn't hold anything back. Romans 8:38 says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is no love like God's love. And that's why you're here tonight. You're here tonight because you know God loves you. Isn't that right? Why do we want to read the Word of God? Because we know God loves us. Why do we want to do right? Because we know God loves us. If you look back at 1 John chapter 4 and then down to verse 15, and this sermon is not going to do justice to the love of God. I don't know how you could. John said something about if the whole earth were full of books, you couldn't write down all the things that Christ did. Well, you definitely couldn't write down how much love God has for us. 1 John 4:15, it says, "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us." Let me say, you believe God loved you, that's why you accepted his salvation. We've known and believed that the love that God hath to us. Then it says again, God is what? God is love. I want you to notice something here. It says, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And I'm not just talking about dwelleth in love like chocolates and flowers. I'm talking about the love of God where you love men's souls. Not just who they are on the outside. Not just their status symbol. Not just what they can do for you or what they give to you, but you love people's souls. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. Verse 17 says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." When you accept Christ as Savior, God's love for you, his salvation, complete salvation for you, you don't have to lay with your head on the pillow and worry, if I die tonight, where am I going to end up? There's no fear there because you know of his perfect love. Verse 19 says, "We love him because he first loved us." Listen to this. If a man say, "I love God," and hateth his brother. Now that, girls, has not talked about your brother, but you shouldn't hate him either. He can annoy you sometimes, but you shouldn't hate him. It's talking about your Christian brother. It's talking about the other people that are in this room, brothers and sisters from other churches that are here, Christian brothers. If a man hate his brother, it says, if a man say, "I love God," and hateth his brother, what's it say? He's a liar. You know, there's a lot of Christians who say they love God, but they hate other Christians. And I'm not saying other Christians always make the right decisions. I'm not saying other Christians aren't going to hurt you. I'm not saying other Christians aren't going to do things unchristlike. But it says here, if a man say, "I love God," and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Go back to verse 8. Well, verse 7. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." You know, if you're hating your brother or sister in Christ, and you're not loving them, okay, who is love? God. It says, if you know God, then you're going to love. So the closer you get to God, what's that going to say about how you are with humanity and how you are with other Christians? What's your response going to be toward them? love and loving. If you can't stand being around Christians, you can't stand going to church, you can't stand brothers and sisters in Christ, you can't stand people in general, that would say who are you not spending a lot of time being close to? God. We're human. We all do come to a point sometimes where we're like, okay, I'm done with people for a while. But I honestly think when we get to that place, it's because we have already left a different place. And that is walking with God. Because the more that you walk with God and the closer you are to God, the more you're going to love. Over here, not really walking close to God, when you read the words of Scripture, love your enemies, are you going to be able to do that? No, because who is love? And loving your enemies, that's a godly thing to do, is it not? Is that what our flesh wants to do? No, we want to pound them, right? Trip them as they're going down the stairs. Don't get any ideas. Love God. But the closer you get over here to God and the more you walk with God, the more loving you're going to be. When I find myself over here, it's like a sign that says, you're not very close to the Lord right now, are you, Rob? What's that? You can't stand people? You must not be walking with the Lord very close. Because when you walk with the Lord close, you love people. Even when they're mean to you? Some of you are shaking your heads. Some of you. Even when they're your enemies? You know, he didn't say, like your enemies. Or put up with your enemies. Tolerate your enemies. He said to love them. That's a big deal. Are we going to be able to love our enemies if we can't even love our brother or sister? I think what God's saying is start in the church and loving one another there. Because you're not going to be able to truly love the world unless you love the people who are already saved. And you're not going to be able to love your enemy if your brother is who you count as an enemy. God's love. You know, our church has been here in August for 40 years. We're going to be celebrating the 40th year anniversary. There's going to be some pictures up on the slideshow of people who have been in our church and who have maybe gotten upset and left. And your heart's going to be saddened. And I would hope it's saddened because you love them. There's going to be some people that in this slideshow who the Lord has taken home. And our heart's going to be saddened because we love them. You need to love your church. That's God's command. He says, if you love me, you're going to love the brethren. But if you say you love God, but you don't love the church, people at church, he says you're lying. You know the first person you're lying to? Yourself. Do you love your church? It's been a little bit rocky. You go through seasons. You got mountaintops, and you got the valleys. We don't like the valleys. We definitely don't like the wilderness. The dry and barren land. But I see us coming close to the mountaintop again. I see us entering the green valley right before you get to the ridge as you start to climb. And what's going to get us back to that mountaintop is God's love and loving one another. And that's only going to come if you decide that's what you're going to do. And if you decide that's what you're going to do, then you've got to come back over here. And you got to spend time with him. And the more you spend time with God, the more a lover of each other you'll be. The less stress, the less strife, the more peace, the more joy, the more contentment, the more friendliness, and may I say, the more ability then to love the lost, and then the ability to love your enemy. If God is love, and we're supposed to love because he loved us, let's do it.